Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.
And we look, it happens to be Parshas HaShavua. You got the emails, everybody. We're looking at Mitzvah Ayin Gimel, which is going to be the mitzvah we will loosely call Tshuva, which we'll find out maybe needs another name. But we're going to look first at the Parsha, which is the source of this whole discussion. That's this week's Parsha, Parshas Nitzavim. And we're looking at chapter 30. As a matter of fact, we should start from there. We're really going to be focusing on Pasuk Yud Aleph, but we should start from the beginning because, according to the Ramban, Pasuk Yud Aleph refers to the beginning. So let's look at it. So just to get it in, you know, to get it in our heads exactly what all this discussion is about. Where does it appear in the Torah? One of the observations I'll make about the Sefer Devarim is that if a person is not careful, a person can just say, maybe I said this before, but a person can just say, there he goes again, right? In other words, the whole Sefer Devarim, you hear Moshe Rabbeinu talking, and basically he's saying, be a firm Jew, and just do what Hashem wants. That's what it sounds like, right? And you really have to dissect and analyze every parsha, I don't mean weekly parsha, but every paragraph, to find out how is he advancing the conversation, what is he adding, what is he trying to say, what has he not said before, what has he said now. I mean, how many times have you talked about bracha and klala in Dvarim? Right, now we have it again. So we always have to know what he's advancing. So here, v'haya in the Perek Lamed, v'haya ki yavo alacha kol hadvarim ha'ela habracha v'haklala ashen esatz lefanecha. When all this happens, which means history is going to unfold and all these things will happen to you, v'hashivos ala v'avecha b'chol ha'goyim esha hidichacha Hashem elokecha ha'shama, and you internalize it among all the goyim where God has pushed you. Right? It's just an amazing thing to hear Moshe Rabbeinu talking about this before they come into Eretz Yisrael. Right? It's almost an inevitable thing. It's not like if you end up choosing this path, it's going to happen. Right? Ki adati acharei mosi, I know after I die, it's going to be problems. It's amazing. It's amazing. It's not amazing just because of the point that. It's that Moshe Rabbeinu was telling them that this whole thing is going to fall apart and you're going to go into Galus. That's not what I mean by amazing. The amazing is that you have a Moshe Rabbeinu telling them it's inevitable. Part of the psyche and the teaching that they have absorbed from Moshe Rabbeinu is not the shock of it, it's the reality of it, that this is part of who Klal Yisrael is, and we're going to actually go into Galus. And we're actually going to not follow the bris. And we're actually going to have consequences. And it's almost part of the whole relationship. It's not some anomaly. It's a whole different thing from sometimes the way we might relate to it, which is that Golus is a mistake. The whole thing from beginning to end is a mistake. It's something that shouldn't have happened, something that it's just like totally outside the pale. It's going to happen, and it's part of the deal here. I'm not saying it's a good thing. I'm not saying we want it. I'm just saying it's not a mistake. It's part of us. V'shavta ad Hashem Elokecha. So then, when you internalize this, right? So you'll return to Hashem your God, v'shamata v'kalo, and you'll hearken Him. K'chol asher anochi mitzavcho hayom, according to the terms which I'm commanding to you, your children, with all your heart, with all your soul. And God will return your captives and have mercy on you, and He will, in verse 43, and He will return and gather you up from all the nations where he spread you, no matter how far you've gone, in verse 4, He'll bring you back to the land of Eretz Yisrael, and He will take away the covering of your heart, so that you will love God with all your heart, all your soul, in order to give you life. And God will give a place to all these signs on your enemies who chased you, and you'll return and listen to Hashem, and He'll give you a tremendous abundance when you return, so that He will be a joyous, He'll have joy for good the way He had joy with your ancestors when you listen to the mitzvahs. Okay, fine. Verse 11. Ki hamitzvah hazos asher anochi mitzavcho hayom. 4. I guess right? I guess it means for this mitzvah. Ki ha-mitzvah hazos. Asher anochi mitzvah hayom. This mitzvah, which I command you today, lo niflesim mcha, is not wondrous from you, v'la rechakeh, it's not distant from you. Okay, so what is this mitzvah? So if you look in Rashi, he doesn't tell you on this pasuk, but later on in pasuk Yibayz, when the Torah says "Lov Hashemayim Hi Le'mar Miyala Hashemayim Yukachal Lanav Yashminos Menasena," it is not in the heavens that you should say, "Who will go up to the heavens and take it for us that we should and help us hear it and we'll perform it?" It's not at the other side of the ocean. In verse 13, says Rashi, "What's not in the heavens?" Verse 14. Rather, it's close to you. In your heart and in your mouth and in your heart to do it. Says Rashi, what's close to you? The Torah was given to you in writing and valpeh. Whatever that means, it's for another discussion. This is a fantastic Rashi. What in the world is he saying? We're not going to answer that now. I just want to raise it. This is not a Pashut Rashi. It's close to you. Torah Shel Sav, Torah Shel Balpeh. We never thought of that as a function of closeness, right? How does that in any way relate to me as close? Whatever that is, but Rashi is saying that we're talking about the Torah. And the Torah itself is the subject of this paragraph. The antecedent of it is the Torah. Ki ha-mitzvah hazos, this commandment, which it means the whole Torah. This whole thing is the Torah. In case you doubt that, because Rashi doesn't say it explicitly, he just talks about the Torah in the last pasuk. So then we go to the Ramban. Let's look at the Ramban on the selection. Give me the, one of those sheets. I think I didn't say one for myself. It's a double-sided sheet. So the Ramban over here in the Sovereign, thank you. Just in case. Okay, on the side that has Ramban on top. So, Tam Kiyam Mitzvah, that's the word Tam in the Ramban, always means explanation. Is Al Kol HaTorah Kula. Okay? So, that's the default shot. V'hanachan, however, says the Ramban, the correct shot, not the shot that I just quoted, the correct shot, Ki Al Kol HaTorah Yomar Le'el. It already says before. Kol HaMitzvah Shanachim Mitzvah HaYom. That's already been referred to before. Where does he have it over here? Ches. Okay, so it's a Moshe Rabbeinu already said it before. So it's amazing. The Ramban actually doesn't relate to Dvarim the way that I articulated before. Right? In chapter 8, he's now in chapter 30. In chapter 8, Moshe Rabbeinu already said, all of this Torah which I command you today, which means the Torah. So therefore, in chapter 30, he can't possibly mean that, right? So the Ramban takes Moshe seriously. He doesn't repeat himself. And he's not, he already said that. Therefore, this can't mean that. Aval hamitzvah hazos, this phrase, hamitzvah hazos, ahal tshuva haniskeres, is referring back to the tshuva, which has already been mentioned in the previous paragraph. Ki, v'hashivosa el v'vecha, in pasuk aleph, and v'shavtad Hashem elokecha, in pasuk beis, mitzvah shi'itzavah son alasas kain. Those are commandments that you should do it. So the Ramban is learning that when the Torah says back there, v'hashevosa el vavecha, and v'shavtad Hashem elokecha, and pasuk aleph and beis, the Torah is not saying, when this happens, I'm telling you, you're going to internalize it, and I'm telling you, you're going to do tshuva. No, that's not Moshe Rabbeinu giving us a haftacha. That's Moshe Rabbeinu instructing us in a mitzvah. When this happens, when you go into Golis, and all these curses and blessings happen, and you shall internalize, return to your heart, among the name, and v'shavta, and do tshuva, right? So, mitzvah sheyitzavos and lasses kain, it's a mitzvah that he's commanding us to do it, says the Ramban. The nemar v'lashon habeinoni, why doesn't it say lashon tzivui? Ramban, lashon beinoni means neutral, which means it doesn't say thou shalt do tshuva, v'asisa tshuva, or Komar Hashem Tasa Tshuva, or whatever. I don't know what the structure would be, but it would be much more definitive, an inescapable mitzvah language, as opposed to the possibility here of translating as when this happens or this will happen. So the Omar, v'nerva b'lashon ha'beinani, lirmoz b'havtacha ki yasad ha'davar l'yos kain, to also convey the assurance that in the future it's going to happen. So the Torah chooses to give us this mitzvah in this language, which also is the predictive language, to tell you that it's going to happen. V'atam lemar, and the intention, the meaning, the whole yeah, the whole intention of the paragraph is ki im yehiyani dachacha b'ktzeh shemayim. The Ramban is really now addressing a problem, which is, if I understand, like Rashi seems to imply, or like other Rishonim want to learn, that this paragraph is talking about the Torah, so that I understand what it means, the Torah itself is not that far. I understand that. But if it's Tshuva, what do you mean? Tshuva is not far? How does that work? So the Ramban says, Tam, Lemar, ki im yihi ani dechacha b'tzeh shamayim. Actually, I'm wrong. The Ramban's going back on Pasuk 4 in the previous paragraph. I'm wrong. I skipped ahead. The point of the paragraph is that even if you're going to be in at the edge of the heavens in the Pacific Ocean, you know, in the Philippines, you will be able to do tshuva. And now he's connecting that to this paragraph. This mitzvah of tshuva is not that difficult, but rather it's close to you. And this is what it means over here. It's in your mouth and in your heart. What does it mean? This is very important for the discussion of the technicalities of tshuva. That they should confess verbally their sin and the sin of their ancestors with their mouths. That's what it means, b'ficha u'b'lvavcha, with your mouth. Because part of tshuva is going to be confession. V'yashuva b'libam. So b'ficha u'b'lvavcha is in your mouth, which is the verbal confession. B'lvavcha is going to be your mental change, right, in your heart. Right. V'yakablu al, exactly. La'asosa v'yakablu aleyam hayom Torah la'asosa le'doros ka'asher hizkeh la'el pasuk beis ato v'necha b'chalubavcha. Okay. So therefore the Ramban is real clear that this is a reference to mitzvah. Literally the Ramban has that the Torah itself talks about tshuva in the with the word mitzvah. So you can't aim lecha proof gedola mizu that an item in the Torah is a mitzvah, that the Ramban is understanding that the Torah says it's a mitzvah. It uses that word. So you can't argue with the Torah. If it says it's a mitzvah, it's a mitzvah. Don't give me talmid mitzvahs, don't give me rules. The Torah said this is a mitzvah, right? So therefore it says that the Ramban that tshuva is a mitzvah. And what's included in tshuva? This yeshuva believer of Hashem, and also she's vados avanavos avanavos. Okay, Rashi obviously wants to avoid this because Torah being referred to as a mitzvah is unusual. Lashon yachid, right? Rashi would it would seem to be that the natural flow of the psukim would be talking about the Torah. What did I say? Yeah, about the Torah itself. I mean, the Ramban wants to avoid this. How does this go again? Ki ha-mitzvah hazos, to be the whole Torah. Yeah, the Ramban doesn't say this, but it seems that to say that we're talking about the whole Torah is a little odd to use the word a mitzvah. But so the Ramban says it means a single mitzvah. Okay. All right. Now, let's look at how the Rambam understands this pasuk. I cheated. I'm not going to the main... wow. You off the road?
Last night.
Oh, okay, you're still off the road. Welcome. So the Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva Perek Zayin Halacha Hey. So the Rambam there is talking about a lot of things. He's talking about the greatness of Tshuva, how important it is, whatever. We're taking it out of context. But the Rambam in the 7th chapter Halacha Hey says, this is the whole Halacha, Kol HaNeviim Kulam Tzivu Al HaTshuva. All the Neviim commanded regarding Tshuva, which is an interesting thing. To say that if the Rambam would understand that tshuva is a mitzvah, so you don't go telling me that Nevi'im were mitzvah on tshuva. You could say that they talked about tshuva, but tzivu, which is an interesting language. But that alone is not conclusive. But it's okay. What's that?
And then just the problem, not that the tshuva itself is a mitzvah, me bother, it's kind of backward. In other words, the only way to get to this mitzvah is if we have our, somebody did a error before that. And
What's your point? That to have tshuva as a mitzvah itself is
a mitzvah. You know,
you mean the mitzvah is a mitzvah. Is that what you're saying?
Or if somebody did a sin and they have no choice but to do tshuva to get back to a higher level, but that's the mitzvah to do tshuva.
Yeah, it's very interesting you say that. I think you're saying you're echoing the Meshech Chachma. Rameir Simcha wants to suggest that that's going to be the shita of those who hold the tshuva is not a mitzvah. Because what are you talking about? The mitzvah is a mitzvah, and if you don't do the mitzvah, if you're violating the mitzvah, stop violating it, and whatever it is. But we'll see. But I think that's what you're saying, no? That what compels a person to do tshuva is that there's a mitzvah to do this, or there's an aveira that if you don't, if there's a violation if you do this, so stop doing it. Okay. Anyway, so the Rambam says here's the point I want for here over here in Perek Zayin. The Ein Yisrael Negalim Bela Tshuva. Yisrael will only be redeemed through Tshuva. Ukvar Hivticha Torah. The Torah already promised. Shesof Yisrael Asas Tshuva. That Yisrael in the end of days will do Tshuva. Besof Galusan. Umiyad HaNegalim. And immediately they'll be redeemed. Shenemar V'Hayu Ki Yavol Elacha Kol Adorim. V'Shavdi Rasham Lekecha V'Shav Hashem Lekecha. So the Rambam understands that the Torah is guaranteeing that Klal Yisrael will do tshuva, and that's what's happening in these psukim. The point is that in these psukim, the Rambam is not saying Ukvar Tzivsa Torah La Tshuva Ukvar Tzivsa. That's what the Rambam is learning Pashup Shat in the psukim, that the Torah is guaranteeing, right? Just that what moved me is that, you know, we still relate to tshuva, to Klal Yisrael doing tshuva, as an absolute impossibility, right? If we were real Ma'aminim, if we really understood the Torah, and if we really understood Klal Yisrael, if we really understood what Hashem says about it, there is no doubt that there will be tshuva, right? We don't know when and how, but there is no doubt. But we relate to it as a fantastic religious science fiction development that is just absolutely beyond any reality. They're lost, they're gone, it's over, it'll never happen, it'll be... Who cares? We don't care. We do care. We don't need it. We can live with that. Whatever it is. But it's not, yeah, they're going to do tshuva. Whoever they are. Klal Yisrael is going to do tshuva. We're going to be whole. So that we don't have that in our head as a fact. Numa, the Torah promises it. You have a promise from a Kaddish Baruch Hu right here in a pasuk. And whatever. So just saying it's really important for us to internalize this and take the Torah seriously. So anyway, so the point is, that's how the Rambam relates to that. The Rambam does not take these psukim as a mitzvah. He says, that's the only time he quotes this pasuk in Hilchos Tshuva. He quotes it in Perek Zayin, seven chapters in, talking about the guarantee that tshuva will happen, and he said, through that, there's going to be geula. Okay, fine. Now, I want to point out a very interesting thing. Let's go to the Rambam in the Yad first.
Does the Rambam hold that this is a mitzvah?
I don't think so.
Okay, fine.
Yeah, I don't think so.
It's going to happen.
At least not from this. He's just saying it's going to happen, right? It's going to happen.
Yeah,
that tshuva exists as a fact, that the Rambam clearly understands, that there's such a thing as tshuva, right, that a person can actually do tshuva, and whatever that is, changes eternity, whatever it is, that there's no question that the Rambam has Hilchos Tshuva, and he has 10 chapters and tells you how to do it, and he defines it. Is it a mitzvah in the Torah to do tshuva? That so far, certainly from this, we don't have. So we'll have to see what that means. Good, okay. We'll have to see what that means. Because Shenemar, because then what's the pasuk that he quotes? The pasuk that he quotes says nothing about tshuva. Well, we're getting ahead of ourselves. Let's go first to the Rambam. Okay, you're there. Okay, the Rambam in the Yad. Okay. On the other side of the page, I want to point out a couple things to set the stage. Because the Rambam in Sefer HaMitzvahs is going to be an extremely valuable aid. And I'm so surprised that when the Rachmanim go to town trying to figure out this Rambam and other Rambams, I'm just so surprised how often they don't go to the Sefer HaMitzvahs. I just don't understand it. There's got to be a reason. They must have some orientation to it, or maybe they didn't have it, or some of them, I don't know. Because so many times the Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvahs sheds critical light on what he's saying, and it's his index to his own Sefer. It's not like he wrote it and then he had a change of mood or a change of orientation to life and then he wrote the Yad. So it's just amazing how many times they don't refer to it, and if you look at Sefer HaMitzvahs, you could solve so many problems.
Tonight, because they don't know who the author is? I don't think so.
The Ramban knew who the author was. The Raivah knew who the author was.
Yeah,
they wrote on it. They wrote on the Sefer HaMitzvahs. The Rishonim clearly dealt with the Sefer HaMitzvahs of this, and nobody ever said...
Is there somebody from Barcelona, I think?
What's that?
There was
some
from Barcelona, I think.
Really? What, the Sefer HaMitzvahs?
Yeah.
There was a time when they didn't know there was the Rambam? I'm not aware of that. I know that when the Ramban wrote his Hasagas on the Sefer HaMitzvahs, he knew who he was talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And the Raivah also. The Raivah did this as part of his general hunting of the Rambam. You know, so I'm just saying, you know, you might be right. Let's see. Let's Google it. I don't know.
I thought
Oh, that's another story. Okay. Yeah. The Bahag also, there was a question of his authorship. There still is, in some circles, but we're makabel that the Bahag is written by a particular Rishon who lived in the 10th century. But the Rambam, I don't think there's any question. Okay. All right, so now the Rambam, you'll see here that the Rambam in Sefer Mitzvot is going to make a big difference. So the Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva says, okay, first of all, he tells you Hilchos Tshuva has one mitzvah. For who? Sheyashuv HaChotev. I have Rambams here if you want. Okay. Yeah. Good. It's always better inside. Somebody obviously wants to do tshuva from their summer vacation because in Hilchos Tshuva is a picture of a pontoon boat. Okay. So, and they have it on Perek Sheni, not on Perek Rishon. Interesting. Okay. The Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva. We're going to the very beginning. Hilchos Tshuva is in Sefer Amada, by the way. Interesting where the Rambam puts it. All right, just let's get the whole context here. He starts with, Yeah. He starts with Yisrael HaTorah, like telling you about the right everything from the planets to what reality is, right? Then he tells you about, let's loosely say, Hechazdeus, we'll call it Midos, attitudes, whatever. And then he goes into Talmud Torah, which would make sense, because you have to read the book that God wrote in order to be able to move forward, and in order to be able to... And then immediately Avodah Zarah, which is, stay away from anything that denies God. The next thing is Tshuva, right? Really interesting. Especially in the when we compare it to the sequence of the mitzvah that the Rambam indexes in the Sefer HaMitzvahs, where he puts this really interesting. So here comes Hilchos Tshuva in the book of Mada. The real reason that Tshuva is here is because Tshuva is, this is not for now, but just, it's hard to ignore this. Tshuva is a function of the nature of a human being. The reason the Rambam puts it in here is because Tshuva is the epitome of the expression of a human being responsible. Right? And therefore the Rambam spends a lot of time here in Hilchos Tshuva establishing free choice, right? Which is, seems to be a hashkafa point, but the whole point is that you can't talk about tshuva if you don't establish that a person has the ability to do right and wrong, and that's a unique characteristic of a human being. So if a person is doomed or destined to a certain thing, then tshuva is reduced in its value, right? So tshuva is a function of the total humanity, so to speak, of this unique dimension of a human being. Perek 7, Hol Rishus Kolodim Rishinavav, right? That person has a... So therefore the Rambam puts it in here because tshuva is the major feature of the characteristic of a human being. So it belongs in the same place that you would have Deos and so on and so forth. Okay. So it says the Rambam in his mitzvah index of the perek, mitzvah asay achas, it has one positive commandment for who? Sheyashuv hachote mecheto lifnei Hashem v'yisvade. The mitzvah is that a person should repent from his sin and confess. Okay, now let's see what he says over here. Kol mitzvah shevatorah, all commandments in the Torah. Okay, that means not big ones, not death ones, not capital offenses, all mitzvahs in the Torah. Ben asay, ben lo asay, whether they're positive commandments or prohibitions. Im avar adam alachas mehen, the person violates them, ben bezodam ben mishkago, on purpose or by act or unintentionally. Kishiyasa tshuva, when he does tshuva, v'yashuv mecheto, and he repents, chayav v'hisvados of mehakel baruch hu, he is obligated to confess before God, blessed be he, shenemar, as it says, ish o isha ki yasu achas mikol chatasa eila. He's quoting from Parshas Naso. Somebody wants to go, I have a chumashir. So in Parshas, what do you have?
Frankly, has a different.
What does he have?
Ish o isha ki yasu mikol chatasa adam.
Yeah.
That's what you said?
Yeah.
Okay.
I went to the et cetera and I missed part. I said the et cetera wrong. Go ahead. What's the whole pasuk?
Ki yasim kochasim
adam.
Yeah.
Right. Right. Very good.
Esvadu.
Right. Okay. So zev vidui dvarim. So that pasuk says that they shall confess their sins. So you notice the Rambam brings a proof from a pasuk that only mentions vidui, and he feels that he just supported what he says, right? The Rambam says that when a person does an Avera, when he does tshuva and returns from his sin, he's obligated to do to confess before God. As it says, when a person does an Avera, they shall do vidui, right? And that's vidui dvarim. So now, okay, fine, I just proved it, right? So he doesn't mention anything about tshuva in the pasuk, right?
But he doesn't in the halacha either, only in the introduction does he. In other words, he doesn't say it's a mitzvah to do tshuva.
He doesn't say,
he mentions that when a person does tshuva.
Right.
It's
right. So something.
So if not for this introductory line, we would, if you read this halacha, you would only think there's a mitzvah of vidoy.
Right. Right. So then we're stuck. We're stuck with an introductory line that the Rambam writes, in which he says the mitzvah is sheyashuv ha'chotem echet ofnei Hashem v'yitzvadeh. And then over here, he doesn't say ben bezanu ben mishkaga chayav. He just says when he does tshuva and returns from his sin, he's obligated to do vidui. And then he brings a pasuk which only supports confession and doesn't support anything else. So we're stuck a little bit. Where we have,
and it's even more glaring because he says uvidui zeh mitzvah saseh.
Ra'ah, vidui zeh mitzvah saseh. Right, this vidui, not this tshuva, this vidui that I said you're doing after tshuva, and I, Rambam, am using vidui as distinct from tshuva, because I just said when you do tshuva, then you have to do vidui. So when I say the word vidui, I don't mean tshuva. Vidui zeh, this vidui, which follows tshuva, which is done after you do tshuva, when you do tshuva, but it's not tshuva, it's what you do when you do tshuva, right? You do tshuva, and then you chayv lesvaras, right? So vidui zeh, mitzvah saseh. Go ahead, yeah.
Doing tshuva is not an action. It can't be measured in any way. So the only way you can...
1 second. Stop. The Rambam has the guts to tell you otherwise. The Rambam says, I'm going to tell you exactly what tshuva is and what you do. Mahi ha-tshuva, in Perek Beis. He defines the actions. He defines what a person undertakes to do and what happens.
Right. And vidu is the culmination of that. But vidu is an actual action. But the steps that lead to vidu are not an action.
The Rambam says they are. So I'm saying the Rambam in Perek Beis actually defines the steps for tshuva itself. So the Rambam does not say that they're not an action.
So is harata a maaseh?
It's the actual accomplishment. It's something that a person chooses to do and causes to happen, and it's measurable in time and space. At this moment, I am not nisharet. At this moment, I am. So it's something that a person undertakes, right? It's not something that can be photographed, but it's something that a person does with a system. There's a structure to it, right? So it is something that a person actually chooses to do.
Rabbi Thomas, right.
Well, let me just finish with him.
The concrete essay is a mindset. Manifested by vidui.
You mean it's a physical action? Is that what you're trying to distinguish?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Okay, then I missed your point. Okay.
Word?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not talking about clapping.
You're
right?
Talking the uttering of the words.
Actually,
right.
Saying a confession is the manifestation of all the steps before that.
Okay, good.
So that's how we measure the fulfillment of the mitzvah. If you can do all of that stuff and not say vidui, or think the words and not say them out in a whisper or out loud, you wouldn't have fulfilled it.
How do you know you wouldn't? If tshuva is a mitzvah, then the mitzvah is to do that non-visible action.
There are other
here, like tshuva is a preparation to vidui.
It sure does.
Vidui is the actual completion.
Right. So I'm just saying.
Without vidui, you haven't hit the target.
Okay.
You haven't fulfilled it.
How do you know? What's the target?
Because it says vidui is in mitzvah.
So okay. So and
it's pashut.
So vidui is a mitzvah. So what are you solving by saying what you're saying? So you're making an observation that tshuva is.
Isn't it really not a paradox or a contradiction between tshuva being a mitzvah and vidui being a mitzvah? I think here in the Mishnah Torah, he actually defines that the culmination or the actual measurable
behavior
is vidui.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So over here in the Yad, he talks about it in general.
That kind of thing. Okay, I hear what you're saying. So that I now understand. You're trying to resolve. So you're saying the Rambam is giving you a behavioral definition of what you have to do.
Measurable.
But of course, it comes with tshuva beforehand, and tshuva itself is part of the mitzvah. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, without tshuva is empty. Yes.
It's as he says later, yes.
Right?
Yes.
Yet, tshuva without vidui, you haven't done anything. So you need tshuva for vidui, but you don't have tshuva with just tshuva.
Are you obligated to do tshuva?
Only if you sin.
Yeah, so that's why the language is that kisha yasa tshuva when he does tshuva.
I'm following Rashi, bro. I'm following the same lines as Rashi, meaning this is the reality that, the shafat, and
a person is a tzaddik, he never fulfills that mitzvah, because he never has to do tshuva.
I understand.
So it's conditional.
It's conditional, I understand. So is vidui, if you don't have to do vidui either, if you don't do it
right.
Event, right.
I mean, once you have, I mean, Rama doesn't say, once you sin, obviously you have to sin in order to do tshuva. So once you sin, you do tshuva, then you fulfill the mitzvah.
Okay, so kishayasa tshuva v'yoshev mechato means when he does tshuva, why is he doing tshuva? Is he obligated to do tshuva?
Yeah.
Based on what? He hasn't told me you have to do tshuva.
That's correct.
Well,
saying, why doesn't the Rambam list that as an
imperative?
Why does he list it as a happening? That's what's troublesome.
I mean, I hear the distinction you're making between the two, and I hear that the measurable behavior is vidui. I don't hear the language exactly what he kisha yasajuva yasajuva chayv lehisvados. But does he have to do tshuva too in order to do vidui? So say chayv lasas tshuva vula hisvados. Why wouldn't he say that? So I mean, we're getting somewhere. I think we're getting somewhere, but it's not.
Did the Rambam write the introductory words?
Yes. Oh yes. Oh yes. Yes. Some Achronim want to edit it. They want to say kishiyashu. They want to put in a chaf over there because they're bothered by. They want to make it fit over here. The only thing is, it's not like they do it because they found a manuscript. They're stuck, right? So Frankel doesn't change it. And not only that, you look at, well, I don't want to cheat on ourselves, but you look at the Sefer HaMitzvahs, there's no way you can think that the Rambam means Kisha Yeshuv. You'll see. I mean, I don't want to steal my own thunder and make you look into something else while we're trying to focus on this. But anyway, let's go on this Rambam. You don't have it. I couldn't copy the whole thing here. But so the Rambam says, Vidui is a mitzvah saseh. Then he says, how do you do Vidui? Now he's going to tell you, because he just told you a mitzvah called Vidui. How do you do it? So you say, Ana Hashem Chatasya Vizi Vashad Govanecha Sizi Kafakach. I'm not focusing on the nuances here. Just, he's now telling you how to do it. Say these words. And I'm Bahareini Chamti Uboshti B'maisai. And I am really regret and I'm humiliated by what I did. And I will never do this again. That's part of Vidui, which is very interesting. Vidui is not, I did this sin before you. That's incomplete. According to the Rambam, it's, I did this sin and I am humiliated. And I will not do this again. All that's in the verbal statement, right? That's the essence of vidui. The more one confesses and expounds on this is praiseworthy, which means that the more a person expresses himself in authentic expression of whatever it is better. And the same thing, people who bring a karmel chatas, which means they unintentionally violated Shabbos, right? And shamas, the eishem avin kavanasayin, at the time they bring the kavan al shigagasan al zedonan, or for asham for the zedon, for their intentional violation, ain miskaper lehem bekarbonim ashiyaz tshuva, v'yisvadu vidui dvarim. I can't believe that this print put a period in here. They don't get atonement on their carbon until they do tshuva and do vidui. Shenema, as it says, v'hisvada shechatoleh, that they should confess what they sin for. Right, now, why is the Rambam saying this? V'chein, listen to the sentence. And also, balei chatas v'ashamas, these people who bring karbonas, when they bring their carbon, they don't get kapara until they do tshuva and do vidui. Vidui dvarim. As it says, nothing about tshuva. V'hisvadu asher chata aleha, that they should confess what they sinned for. Okay, I'm really nice to know that, Rambam, but you're telling me that there's a mitzvah to do vidui. Okay, you just told me. What do you mean, and also ba'alei chatos and shamas, when they bring their carbon, it's in this carbon until they do tshuva and it's better. Why are you telling me that?
You might think.
That's not the topic here.
Well, you might have a half of me that if you bring a carbon, it's a place of vidui, because it's a maisa. You say, it's a maisa, it's... it's meaningless unless...
Good. So you might think that if you bring a carbon, what happened even though you didn't do vidui?
You got kapara.
Ah, which means the Rambam is here trying to tell you a din in how to achieve kapara. Right? That's the point. He's not telling you a din in how to do tshuva. His Rambam is interested in telling you kapara.
Well, that's the final reward. I mean, that's the final effect of all of... Why do we do it? To get kapara.
Well, I don't know. I don't know. The point is, I don't know if he... Maybe yes, maybe not. The point is that the Rambam is now... The Chain tells you immediately that just like I just told you something that is true about vidui, I'm going to show you the same thing over there. V'chein, and also Balichatos V'Hashemas, when they bring a karban, it only gets kapara when they do vidui. What is that just like? Just like what I just told you, that you have to do vidui to get kapara. Right? In other words, unless you say that the Rambam's impetus is to tell you, I'm telling you how to get kapara, there's a mitzvah to do vidui, to get kapara. And also, people who bring karbanas, bring all the karban you want. Do all the tshuva you want. If you don't do vidui dvarim, you didn't get kapara, right? So the point here is, I'm coming to tell you how to get kapara. I'm not coming to tell you how to do tshuva. The Rambam isn't even trying to tell you how to do tshuva. That's later. You want to do tshuva, read Perek Beis. Right now, the Rambam is telling you a whole perek about atonement. Right? Not that atonement is unrelated to tshuva, but the point of this perek is to tell you about a mitzvah. Now you can go back and read this, the introduction, and go like this. Mitzvah is asei achas. For who? There's a mitzvah called achieve atonement. Okay, we'll get there. But the mitzvah called achieve atonement. Get atonement by doing vidui, which is of course going to have to be with tshuva beforehand, because you can't do vidui without it. But the point is, vidui is a mechanism for kapara. Let's go on, as you said, to halacha gimel. Bizmana, oh, very good. I knew you were going to ask that. Okay. Bizmana is that. We're skipping ahead. In halacha gimel. And nowadays, are you bringing a raya? It's a kasha. Shein beza mikdash kayam. Vein lenu mizbech. You're right, it's a raya and a kasha. Shein beza kasha kayam. Vein lenu mizbech kapara. Nowadays, when we don't have a beza mikdash, we don't have a mizbeach, so what are we going to do for kapara? Right? That's his kasha, which means that's your point. He's only interested in kapara. That's the whole point of the paragraph. Now we have a problem. We don't have the mizbeach kapara. Ein sham ela tshuva. Hatshuva mechaperes akol ha'averos. Seems to be a stira. The Rambam just told you have to have vidui for kapara. Afilu rasha kol yom avos a tshuva. Even if he's a rasha his whole life and he does tshuva the last day, ein maskein lo shum davar mirisho. They'll never mention anything from his rishos when they get up there, because he did tshuva, right? And then he says, v'tzuma sheyom kippur mechaper l'shavim. The essence, the power of the day of Yom Kippur atones for those who repent. As it says, Kibbe Yom Hazeh. All right, without getting into that, because we're going to get very distracted, this Rambam is so much here. We're going to try to go through this on Rosh Hashanah also. I mean, not also like repeat, but to deal with that issue. But this Rambam, you're right, that this Rambam, it reinforces the notion that his whole impetus here is to tell you how to get kapara. Look at Halacha Beis, right? He goes on, even on the end of Halacha Aleph. Oh, mechuyah bebeizdin, mechuyah bemakas, emis kapalehem bemisas, emukias, and shias the tshuva, viyas vadu. Right? The kapara, the whole thing is emis kapara, shias vadu. The whole halacha in halacha alav is no kapara comes till you do vidui. Okay. And then tzir mishtaleach. Since it's kapara, therefore the Kohen Gadol does vidui. Because vidui is a kapara device. All we're saying is that the Rambam holds that there's a mitzvah called be atoned. The Rambam doesn't hold there's a mitzvah called do tshuva. Do tshuva might be, like you're saying, of course you're going to do tshuva. How could you not? There's your brother Shalom, you invited her to his will. Be sorry, resolve not to do it again, make sure you don't do it again, do whatever you have to do not to do it again, whatever it is. But then there's something else. You did something. How do you deal with the fact that there's damage in the world? Something occurred, a violation of God's will happened by a human being who was created by him. You did it. There's a blotch. It's there. It's real. How do you clean? That's kapara, atonement, is really cleanse it. How do you wipe it clean? So that's something different than tshuva. Tshuva is, right? Tshuva is actually something that can be done without cleaning. You're just no longer the guy who's going to do that. You're never going to do that again. You resolve you're never going to do it, but you never say anything. How do you get cleansed from what you did? Good. You're sorry you did it, but you did it, right? The atonement says you still have to deal with the impact. You still have to deal with the result. You're not that person anymore. You're never going to do it again. You're sorry, you're embarrassed. That's all wonderful. But you didn't get atonement. That's where you're going to have to do vidui. That this first parak is about gaining atonement. So with that, we can go a little bit to the Rambam now and see, I mean, to the Sefer Mitzvah.
And that's also why it's okay, because without that explanation,
yeah,
it's so mundane why he waits till
right.
Parak Beis to
right.
tell you about Tshuva. That should
right.
be... That should be first.
Right.
Tshuva comes before vidui.
Right, isn't that right? And the Rambam is clear, you can't do vidui unless you mean it.
So why is he waiting until Parak, like you said, why
yeah.
is he waiting until Parak Beis before
right.
you ought to do Tshuva?
Right, right.
Because
he's telling you...
It's not about telling you how to do
vidui. There's a mitzvah to get atonement.
Okay.
And you're going to do Tshuva to do that. So first I'll tell you there's a mitzvah to get atonement. And I'll tell you that vidui is the way to do it. And therefore I'm going to tell you all the dinam of vidui and all the cases and the Yom Kippur and the atonement device of Yom Kippur. Then, Ezu Tshuva Gemura. What is complete Tshuva? And then Umahi HaTshuva, meaning what are the steps? First, what's the result? Tshuva Gemura is what does it look like when a person finishes his road to Tshuva completely? And then he says when a person doesn't do the Avera again. And then, Mahi HaTshuva, what are the steps of Tshuva? So he goes through all that. There's a lot to talk about here. But the point is now we have the organization of the Rambam, and we understand that it's based on the idea that I'm going to tell you that there's a mitzvah to achieve Kapara, and the way to do that is through Vidui.
But he doesn't say that any mitzvah is Kapara in the
Kapara. Right, it's a mitzvah say to attain Kapara.
Yeah, I think what you're saying is true there. What's that?
Because the individual can only measure and act on his vidui. He can't measure the kapara. That's beyond our...
I don't know if we're interested in measuring. We're only interested in... No, Rambam's interested in defining the things you have to do.
But how do you do a mitzvah?
So he tells you. I'm just saying. I mean... In other words, we still can't measure, or we can't see the thing cleansed.
No, but
we just
but,
do what we're
but,
supposed
well,
to
that's
do.
Exactly the point. But that's what Reuven's saying. In other words, to say that there's a mitzvah to be atoned,
I see.
We don't control that.
I see.
That's
there's a mitzvah to do the device of atonement.
It's not in our realm to get the kapora done. We do our part.
We have a mitzvah to try and make that happen.
We have to do sincerely the acts which HaKadosh Baruch Hu says will be sources of kapora.
Right.
So there's a mitzvah to bring a carbon. There's a mitzvah to do vidui. Okay.
And if you do it properly, then you'll be atoned.
All right. But very good. So first, very good. Excellent. So now, listen to this. It drives me crazy when I notice something and nobody else noticed it. I'm looking all over. I can't see that I'm wrong, but nobody says this, which is the Rambam has this mitzvah as mitzvah 73. What's mitzvah 72? What's mitzvah 71? What's mitzvah 74? It's unbelievable. I don't have space to reproduce it all, but I just wish people would point this out. I mean, it's so obvious. All right. Let me just give you the context here. Okay, let's go to mitzvah. Mitzvah 67. Okay, I'm just going back. That you should do the mincha the way you're supposed to. Mitzvah 68. That Beis Din should bring a carbon if they paskin wrong. Mitzvah 69. That somebody who does an avera unintentionally, he should bring a carbon chatas, right? And he tells you which kinds of averas. Mitzvah 70. That if a person brought a carbon.
Ashram Talai. It's 70.
Right, very good, 70. 71 is an Arsham. They're not Arsham Tali, right. 72 is a carbon Oliva Yare. What are all these things? These are all Kapara devices, right? Mitzvah 73, he should see better his fathers. We're going to see it clearly in a minute, right? He confessed. Mitzvah 74, Yakriv carbon, Kol Yisav, I mean, more carbonist, right? So, Vidui is like a carbon almost. It's a device. It's a mechanism. It's something like that.
Is it, is the carbon of a zav, is that for kapara?
Well, it's actually a form of a chatas, but it's not. He didn't do an avera, but it's not a kapara. It's not necessarily a kapara. No, it's not.
So I don't know that you can bring that as
no, but it's carbonos. The point is, it fixes something. It changes the status, whatever. It changes whatever. You're right, but that's why he actually interrupts it. We're probably over here,
right.
The Mitzvah also. Yeah. You're right. He's no longer into
the
fixing
Averis.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. But this is right here in the middle of nowhere. It's like wild, right? It's amazing. So you're going to say, why does he put it in here? You can say a very good Sarah that and avoid what I'm saying altogether. You could say that the Rambam puts it over here because when did a person do vidui? When he brought all these karbanas. And so therefore he has to tell you the din of vidui together with the karbanas that you're supposed to do it. The only thing is the Rambam doesn't do that in so many other cases. He doesn't put in proximity to other things, things that happen in synchronicity, whatever the word is. Synchronicity, what's the word? In synchrony with those things. He doesn't do that. He does it conceptually. His whole sefer is based on conceptual stuff. So the point here is that the Rambam here is telling you another aspect of kapara. Now when we go through the Rambam on Ayin Gimel, you'll see that he's preoccupied with the issue of kapara, and he's actually afraid that you're going to think that you can only do vidui when there's a karban, right? And then he goes and shows you, no, you can do vidui without a karban. Right? Okay, so let's go through this, just get a sense. Yes.
Dovid HaMelech says that, I think it's in 38, that if God finds the carbon detestable until vidui is done. Like until you confess your sins, that God doesn't want your carbon.
Yes.
He wants your...
That's correct. And when you do tshuva, then he really wants your vidui. Right, then the vidui makes it, or the carbon. Yeah. Thank you.
Just what you're pointing out, I'm not sure.
Yeah.
All the kabbalists beforehand are ones that you would require vidui on, no?
Yes.
Are any of the ones afterwards?
No.
I mean, that makes sense why you put it there. Either you put it before all of them, or you put it after all of them.
Okay. So you're saying that he's putting it there because it is what happens with all those karbanas.
You need it for all those karbanas. And you might think maybe it's not... I would think maybe put it first because you think it's its own thing, but you may think it's also totally on this. But this way, it points out it is not totally on a karban. It also implies that it's its own device for tshuva, kapara, whatever, separate than the karban.
I hear. That maybe explains why nobody says what I said, because maybe you're right. I hear. The Rambam in the Yad has put vidui in Hilchos Teshuva, right? Totally separate from Isaac Kabanas and whatever it is. That does make sense because the fact is that vidui is taka separate from Kabanas, right? Even though it happens so often with Kabanas, I understand. You're saying that since he's talking Kabanas, so he obviously has to list vidui there. I don't know if it works that way in the Rambam system. I don't know if the Rambam is list. I'm pretty sure he goes conceptually. If you go through, just look at the whole list from the beginning to end, you'll see that it's not necessarily the accompanying acts that he puts together, but it's the conceptual relationship between them. I think that's really a thesis that could be developed accurately in the Rambam.
Where'd you go? Where do you think would be more perfect?
You mean if it wasn't a kapara device, a tshuva device?
If it was
a tshuva thing?
Yeah.
I would almost put it by tefillah or something like that. I don't know. I hear that's a good question too. That's a good point. Okay, let's look at the good. I'm pulling back from the sting of what I said. I don't feel as stung by my observation as I did before because of what you're saying. I hear. Okay, so in Ayin Gimel, so the Rambam says, let me read it from here. Where, how much time do we have?
It's what?
Oh my heavens. Okay, good. All right, we'll have some. I'm trying to debate if I have the energy to do anything Rosh Hashanah afternoon. If anybody has the energy to listen to me, that's another thing. So we'll try to see. But, I mean, people of Chara, they want to learn the Rosh Hashanah afternoon, and it's appropriate, and it's very geschmackish stuff. We'll see. Okay, Mitzvah 70, we're not going to get through the whole thing here, but the parts that we really want for tonight, we'll get. He should tivanu. lehisvados al hachatayim b'ha'avana shechatanu lefnei ha'el yisala. So we have a mitzvah to confess on the sins and the hachatayim are the unintentional and avanas are the intentional that we sin before God. V'leimor osam im hachuvah, and to state them with tshuva. V'zehu vidui. So what is vidui? Vidui is stating your sins with tshuva. It's not stating your sins without tshuva, it's stating your sins with tshuva. So if a person states his sins and he doesn't do tshuva, has he done vidui? No. Vidui is stating your sins im hatshuva, right? Lemur asam im hatshuva. So here the Rambam doesn't say when a person hushitzivanu kishe yashuv chayav lehisvados. He doesn't have that formulation that he has over there. He has instead, there's a mitzvah to do vidui, and you're supposed to do it with the tshuva, at the time of tshuva, im ha-tshuva. At the time that a person does tshuva, he must do vidui. There's a mitzvah when a person does tshuva to do vidui. Right? Now you can kind of already start hearing the Rambam differently. Kisha yasa tshuva. The mitzvah is when a person is doing tshuva, he should do this. Not like some achronim want to say in the Rambam is making a mitzvah kiyumis. Just like, if you want to divorce your wife, here's how to do it. If you don't want to divorce your wife, you don't have a mitzvah to divorce your wife. There's no mitzvah to write a get. Unless you want to divorce your wife, then do it. That's called a mitzvah kiyumis. Some people want to say that the Rambam holds that vidui is a mitzvah kiyumis. If you end up doing tshuva, then you should do vidui. Of course, if you don't do tshuva, then you're not obligated to the mitzvah of vidui. No, you are obligated to the mitzvah of vidui. The only way you can get there, though, is to do tshuva. That's all. And the Rambam is saying, there's a mitzvah to do vidui when you sin. Of course, vidui by definition has got to be real. So when you say the words, you're going to have done tshuva. But so the Torah is, and it's not a catch. The Torah is saying, make a sincere statement of your sin. A sincere confession, acknowledgement of your sin. By definition, that means do the work so when you say it, you mean it. Because if you don't do the work so that when you say it, you mean it, then when you say it, you're not doing vidui. You're reading words out of a book, or you're saying words.
Right.
But the point is, of course you have to do tshuva, so that you can do vidui. Right? He should extend the statement and beg for forgiveness according to his own ability to express. Tzachos Hashem is his own personal thing, which means it's a very personal thing, the way the Rambam has it. Now the Rambam, of course, later on seems to contradict himself in just putting this in his face. The Rambam says, "Kol Yisrael, all Yisrael confess by saying, Avah Chatanu." Right, and there he doesn't say anything about mechila. He doesn't say anything about mefarit hachet, right? And that seems to be what we have in our machzor. Right. So the Rambam seems to contradict himself. They all talk about it. We will have to work on it. It definitely approaches. Okay, there's so much more to talk about here.
I want to say that the personal tshuva and
Yeah.
The other one, it was in the sales, at least that one, but yet it still has an effect.
What, tshuva itself?
The communal.
Oh. Yeah, I raised the question, but there's a lot. You have to see the lesson of the Rambam before we work on it. So, I mean, we have to see in the context there. All right, the Rambam now is going to go. We're not going to have time for this, but the Rambam spends a lot of time quoting from the Masilta to prove that vidui is not connected to a carbon. That even when you don't have a carbon, or even when you did an avera different for that which would call for a carbon, you still have to do vidui. And therefore, vidui is not a din in a carbon; it's a din in repentance. We won't use the word tshuva because that gets confusing. A din in fixing up an avera, right? So that's what he does. He spends a tremendous amount of time on that, and then he actually goes through the entertainment of the idea that you can't do vidui in chutz la'aretz, right? Okay, you can't do vidui chutzlat. What in the world is that? So, Ibishma, if you understand that vidui is a mechanism for atonement, so then you can understand you can't bring a carbon anywhere. So, vidui is another mechanism, like a carbon, right? Therefore, you can't do that anywhere. You can only do that in certain places. If it's tshuva, so tshuva is a state of mind. It's an attitude. It's a relationship. It's a place that I'm at. Well, you can't tell me that in the West Indies, I can't have a feeling and an attitude about doing mitzvahs, right? But if it's a mechanism to achieve kapara, that's the point of it, then you might think that such a mechanism can only work in certain spaces in our set. But then he goes through it and shows him, no, it works everywhere. Anyway, I'm just saying again, it's all consistent with the whole idea. We're dealing here with a mechanism to achieve atonement, not the act of changing your orientation to God, which is tshuva, which has to be done in order to do vidui, but that's not what the Rambam is talking about. That's what the Rambam is talking about later. Anyway, so we'll talk more. We'll see the Rosh Hashanah. Certainly Thursday, Aseres Metshuva, we'll meet, unless Yisachar Fran is going against this year. Then, of course, we can't ever go against Yisachar Fran. He's my roommate from the last, talk that way. We'll say, if not, we'll try to make it up. But I think, just keep posted for whether we're going to have a shiur on Rosh Hashanah afternoon. I don't know. What do you think? What's your vote? An hour before Mincha on the exhausting day of Rosh Hashanah.
Thumbs up.
Yeah. Alright, so, okay. And if you don't come, I won't hold it against you. But even the ones with thumb, they're up. Oh, up to them. Alright, let's have mine.
Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to torahmediaatlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.